setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
Live from Ramsey Studios in Nashville, you're joining a conversation about who you are, what you were born to do, where you want to be, and how you can get there. It's not all about you. Sounds like it, doesn't it? Well, it's all about who you are supposed to influence. What is your contribution? So while we focus on who you are, what you do best, and what you love to do most, and what you want to do, and where you want to go, and why you want to be there, that's not a selfish pursuit. It is a selfless pursuit if it is on purpose, because we are to become who we were created to be for the benefit of others. That is what makes this world a special place. When we are giving of ourselves, and what work we were created to do is a benefit for others. And so that's what we're about. Thrilled to have you with us. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. If you're new to the show, we're going to look at what you do best and what you love to do most. How can you use what you do best as a tool, if you will, to perform the work that you love to engage in and create a result that you're deeply proud of? But that's what we look at. That's the sweet spot. Let's start it off this hour with Ryan, who's on the line in Raleigh, North Carolina. Ryan, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Good afternoon, Ken. Honored to talk to you, sir.
Well, it's my honor. How can I help?
Yes, sir. I'm at a decision point. I'm looking at two potential job offers on the horizon. Job offer number one starts out at 75. They have a 401k with a 90% match. Job offer number two starts out at 73. They have a 457 with no match. Job offer number one, I'm not sure I'm a match for the culture of the place. Job offer number two, it seems like I am. The leadership, they really seem to like me, and I've been talking to them, and I just seem like a better culture match for job two.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stuck. I don't know which one to go with.
Well, my question is there a clear difference between one and two as it relates to the work itself? Which, are they the same role, or they're so similar that you could basically say, well, it's the same role, and I'm a terrific sweet spot fit? Because I care more about that first. Culture really, really matters, because you can be in your sweet spot and be in an awful culture and not even want to go into work. So that is really, really important. So my initial response is number two, for those very important reasons. But I also want to make sure that you have a clear leader as it relates to the sweet spot, meaning you're using what you do best to do what you love to do most. So what are we talking about? Which one of those is our clear leader?
It's the same job. It's just
okay.
It's the exact same role. It's just in two different locations, two different places.
Okay, great. Then it's number two.
Yeah, okay.
Now,
all right.
Now that's right now. Understand that there's one last step I would take before deciding, and I would do my dead level best, which means I'd get it done. I'd find a way to get a hold of somebody who works at both places.
Mm-hmm.
Who's not on the leadership team, or certainly not in the interview group that you're interviewing with. And I would ask them to talk about the culture, because people will talk easily about the place they work. They'll tell you. And so I would like you to do that, because that way you can verify what you're sensing on your own. But but I think verifying would be really, really important. So that's what I think you need to do. Okay.
Understood.
And then when you you verify that, then you've clarified, right? Or it's the other way around. You get clarity and you verify. Clarify and verify, you know? Verify your feelings. Now we've got clarity. So I love that process. And once you do that, I think if number two is still the clear leader because of the culture issue, it's a no-brainer. It's only talking about $2,000 right now. If you believe in yourself, you're going to make more money than that anyway. And I would never, ever take a job based on 401k. That just, to me, that's a benefit. And I like the use of that word. I'm glad they call it that, because it's not a mandatory thing. That's a benefit. It's nice. Never, ever, ever choose a place to work based on benefits. I just, it's not, that is so backward. And it just never is a, it's, I've never talked to a successful man or woman. And I interview the best of the best. I have, still do. I've never had somebody go, well, I tell you what, the key to my success, I rarely talk about this, but the key to my success was choosing the company that had the best 401k plan. Well, those benefit packages are the X factor. Nobody says that. So don't think that way. All right. Up next is Lee in San Diego. Lee, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help?
I'm on my research phase, and I found out that I'm my sweet spot is in a marketing and advertising role.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, should I embark on starting my own advertising company, knowing that, finding out that I'm already in that role with my company?
I don't know enough to say yes or no. That's why you heard me pause. But that makes me really nervous. I mean, let's start with this. Do you know what it takes to start and make a advertising agency successful?
Yes.
Okay.
I've been working with a couple of, I've been working with a lot, learning from advertising people, you know, proximity. So I'm learning from them.
Okay.
But, you know, they only tell me what they want to tell me.
Right. But
I have to find out the rest for myself.
Right. But let me tell you what it takes based on my limited knowledge, but I know at least this is valuable. So it takes capital. I don't know how much. At the end of the day, I mean, I guess you'd start with just you. Am I right?
Yes.
All right. So it's not a lot of capital, but there's some capital, which you could probably scrape together. But then you got to actually have clients. Do you have clients?
Yes, I do.
You got paying clients, meaning you got enough that you look out your first 6 to 12 months and you go, I've got enough existing clients that the work that I'm doing for them and would continue to do for them is going to keep paying me what I've been making, if not more. Have you run that model?
Yes, but that's where I'm coming up with, should I proceed? Because I'm already doing that with the company that I'm with.
Yeah, but that's not the same as doing it for yourself because you can't steal those clients.
Correct.
So you don't have clients.
Correct. I don't have clients.
Okay, but so that's why I asked. You really don't have any. Because the minute you leave them, you can't steal their clients. That's unethical, and that ain't going to work. That's not the way to grow a business. It's not going to work anyway. You're getting hot water, and that's just not a way to go about it. So you would have to start a business on the side and make sure that there's no conflict of interest at all. You want to be ethical. You start fishing in different water holes. So the way to do it on your own is to do it on the side. You're in the business. It's in your sweet spot. You're getting better every day as a result of working for your current employer, and you serve them really, really well. Then, in what limited time you have, then you effectively are looking for one client or two, and let's see if we can grow that, and then maybe you get to a point where you got to hire somebody part-time to do some of the stuff that you need to do to execute on. And so that's how that happens over time. On the side. Start small, grow slow. That's the only way that's going to work.
Appreciate it. Yeah, the word, the phrase I was looking for is the conflict of interest.
Yeah.
You nailed it. I was looking for that one. And like I said, you know, you have to be ethical to what we're trying to do. But for me, people are saying you do what you need to do. But, you know, an ethical part is like it's unclear. But you made it clear for me, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you listening to the show, and thanks for the call.
Don't go anywhere, folks. More of your calls coming up on The Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, folks, Ken Coleman here. Do you want to make more money to do what you love with the people you love? Have you ever thought about bringing in more income by selling products on Amazon? I want to introduce you to Seth Kniep, the founder of Just One Dime. Starting with a single dime, Seth built a multi-million dollar Amazon business, and you can do it too. With 126 staff and Amazon expert coaches, Just One Dime has trained over 10,000 people from around the world, many of whom are now multi-millionaires. Their award-winning online training, along with personal one-to-one mentorship, will walk you through the entire process, including opening your Amazon seller account, building your brand, selecting a profitable product, finding the right supplier, launching your product, and marketing and managing your online business. If you'd like to learn more, schedule a call today by going to jod.com/Ken Coleman. Again, that's jod.com/Ken Coleman.
running alongside of you as you chase down the dream. I'm Ken. This is the Ken Coleman Show. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. A different kind of talk radio show. It's time we had a talk radio show that actually talks with you about something that matters to you. And that is your meaning, your purpose. We all long to do work that matters. It is doable. It's not too late. It's not going to cost as much as you think. It's possible. It's not a big myth of luck. It's not the lucky lottery of life. It is intentionality. And we're going to help you figure out who you are, what you want to do, and how to get there. 844-747-2577. Gary's on the line in San Francisco, California. Gary, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken.
Gary, how are you?
I am well, and I am fearful, doubting, and confused. So
oh, my gosh. These are my favorite things. These are my favorite things to discuss.
Yes. Well, I should be a good client then. So my situation is I'm 60, making about 100 grand teaching after 20-odd years. I got a few years to retirement, five or so, and there's a couple issues. One is I'm trying to get some extra money to just save up for my future because I got into teaching late and my pension won't be that much. And the other thing is my principal has said that she is thinking about closing down the department that I teach, which is the computer department,
mm-hmm.
because she doesn't see the benefit of it. And that is making me go, oh, yay, what am I going to do?
Right.
And also, I've just come back from taking a year off because I got completely ground down to dust by student misbehavior and apathy.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring a lot of enthusiasm to what I do, whatever mm-hmm. it is.
Mm-hmm.
But that's been just pummeled out of me over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't want to do it. I trained to be a business teacher. I'm teaching computers. She's trying to get rid of the job. And when she said that, part of me went, yes.
Right, good.
part of me said, oh, no.
Yeah.
What am I going to do now?
Well, I'll tell you what you're going to do now. It. We're gonna create a plan right now.
Okay.
Because this is not a call where you're calling in going, Ken, I have no idea what I want to do. You love teaching. And you've taught, or you are teaching computers, but you were trained to teach business. Would you want to stay teaching technology, or would you like to go more teaching business? That's my question.
Ideally, I would like to teach business at high school. The problem is that there are very, very, very few schools that teach business.
I agree.
They think it's, they basically put it at the JC and college level.
Yeah, but let me push back on something. You don't want to teach high school anymore. I don't care what you tell me. You just told me earlier that you got ground down to dust. You took a year off because you don't have the ability in a public school situation to deal with the discipline issues. Not to mention, you don't want to. You want to teach kids that are there because they're hungry, right?
Yep.
That's what makes Gary come alive. You're not a babysitter. You're an instructor. So where would people be that would be hungry to learn technology and business concepts?
Good question.
You know the answer. Where are those students, the ones that are going to come into your class excited to see you and receptive to your enthusiasm because you're helping them get where they want to go? Where are the hungry students that are interested in business and technology? Where are they? Answer it. You know, say it.
Junior college?
That's right. Colleges and universities. Online.
Yeah, online, possibly. Because I'm not sure that I have passion about teaching. What I'm really interested in is I like to explain with writing and speaking. I like to encourage people that think they can't do something to at least try, and then they find out for themselves they can do it. And the thing that I'm really into right now is about thinking critically and problem solving. I'm doing a lot on Twitter, and it's driving me crazy about all the people that have established opinions and are unwilling to change.
Okay.
And when I took my year off, I wrote a lot of stuff on LinkedIn about critical thinking. Nobody was really interested.
Right, but here's my point. That's a hobby. So that'll keep your soul alive.
So keep doing that on the side. But you just said you aren't a teacher. I think what you meant to say is, I don't think I want to be a teacher at the high school level. You want to explain things and encourage people. Well, that's an instructor or a coach. But you can do that in a non-high school or even junior college environment. But here's the thing. You're 60 years old, so you got to have a plan. Yep. And if this lady or whatever, who is the principal, I think you said, if she shuts you down, then you're going to be kicked out of the nest anyway. I'm trying to get you on a path that says, all right, this is what I really love to do. And at 60, I can do this for 5 to 10 more years. And I better go about figuring out all the different ways I can do that. But I don't, you're making this harder than it seems, because you need to be asking yourself, where are all the places that I could step in and instruct? Because instructing is also guiding and encouraging, which is what you said. That's what you really love to do. But again, the X factor in why you're not happy is you're not working with students. And again, think students, not in age brackets.
Right.
People who want to learn. You're not working with people who are there because they're hungry. You're working with people that are there because they have to be there. That's a massive shift.
Yeah. And I had one class in 20 years that was the perfect class, and I floated to work every day.
Okay.
Couldn't wait for that class.
Now, that's what we're talking about. That exists somewhere else. What were the attributes of that class?
They sat there eager to hear what I had to say, and not that I was looking for it, but they thanked me at the end of the class.
Again.
Teaching them stuff.
Again.
Yo, what? Who are you?
Yeah, you just validated what I said a couple minutes ago.
Okay.
I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so two minutes
ago. Yeah, go for it.
Well, I told you so 2 minutes ago, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
And you just pulled that out. I floated. Yep. I floated to work. Now, that's the sweet spot, Gary.
Okay. How do I move from where I'm at 100 grand to another job at 100 grand? I don't have a lot of time to ramp up.
Well, let me tell you something. We got a lot of people in the rest of the country, primarily Southeast, that are hearing that you're teaching at a high school making 100 grand. They're falling out of their chair right now.
Yeah, and I'm also paying $2,000 a month for living.
No, I get it. My point is you can replace that income teaching at a higher level. If you're making that in high school, how is it that you can't make that at the junior college or state college, or maybe you do it two ways? Maybe you got this gig as a community college. I'm just making this up. And then you're doing some online teaching as well. Again, people that are online are there on purpose. And the online education
online.
Is... What's that?
I'd be interested in online, because like for years I've looked at our local junior colleges and they just don't have many openings, and they're always
great.
Part-time. Well,
let me tell you this. Online education is exploding. A school in Central Virginia where I went to school, Liberty University. Many people never heard of it. It's one of the leading universities in online education. It's exploding. One of my wife's closest friends makes really good side money teaching Spanish. She's a high school Spanish teacher in Georgia, and then teaches it online on the collegiate level for adults who are trying to get that continuing education, and makes really good money teaching online. So you've just limited yourself to say, oh, I can't replace my income, but then she might kick me out of the nest anyway. Oh, no, Ken, I don't have anything to do, and that's a bunch of garbage. So you and I just talked about what exactly you need in a fulfilling role as a teacher, guide, instructor. Go find it. If you're making 100 grand teaching high school technology, you can make 100 grand or more at the higher education level. You got to get out there. You got to use the proximity principle. Who do you know? Who do you know? Who's doing that? The proximity principle, Gary, is written for you. You know what? Give Gary my book. It's the number one best-selling book. My goodness, I haven't given away in a couple days. I don't know why. I'm giving it to you, Gary, because it literally is what you need to do. Okay? In order to do what you want to do, got to be around people that are doing it and in places where it is happening. The right people plus the right places equals opportunity. Gary, I'm giving you the book. Read it. Do it. Coming up, we'll take more of your calls. Today may be your day to get the clarity you need to confidently step out and fill your purpose. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Hey,
Hey folks, Ken Coleman here with you. When it comes to looking for a job, most people would probably agree that the whole experience is not fun. But it doesn't have to be this way. ZipRecruiter gets it. In fact, they've actually figured out ways to make the job search process better and easier. And candidates who are invited to apply on ZipRecruiter are nearly three times as likely to get hired. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. It's absolutely free. Put ZipRecruiter to work for you. Shining the light on your path to fulfilling your purpose. I am Ken. This is the Ken Coleman Show. So excited to have you with us. Oh, we're new, folks. Well, we're not really that new. Been doing this thing nationally on Sirius XM for a couple years. Now here we are on your radio station. And boy, oh boy, are we having fun. Different kind of radio show. This is talk radio that's going to lift you. How about listening in to other men and women who are in similar situations that you're in? They're sick and tired of being sick and tired of going to work on Monday. Enough is enough. They want to get on purpose. They want to do the work that they were created to do and live the life that they were created to live. 844-747-2577 is the number. Back to the phones we go. Aaron is on the phone in Little Rock, Arkansas. Aaron, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help?
Well, I've been a nurse for 5 years. I've worked at the same medium-sized clinic the whole time, first job out of school. And I know that I'm ready to do something different. I plan to quit early next year. I'm getting some stuff ready. I'm going to be a travel nurse. I'm really excited about it. I'm really nervous, but it's a good kind of excited. My issue is I don't know how to quit my job well. Like, I don't want to be a detriment to those relationships and, and you know, leave them in a lurch. So what's the best way to quit a job that you love, but you just know that you can't be at anymore?
Yeah. How soon would you resign?
January, late December or early January.
Okay, great.
I'm finishing my emergency fund and getting some insurance in place and some logistical things.
Great. What would be a scenario where you walked in that day and you resign and you've left them in lurch? What would you have to do or not do to leave them in a lurch?
Well, I'm pretty much a floater for the clinic. I don't have a specific doctor that I work for. The doctor that I work for retired. And so I help everyone. And so I would just, I think it's more me feeling like I would leave them in a lurch if I'm not there to assist with phone calls and checking patients in. And the day-to-day logistical parts of it, you know, so much of healthcare is short-staffed. And so I don't ever want to contribute to other people feeling more of a strain because I'm not there to do my part.
Got it. But as you said that, I don't see any scenario where you are going to do something or not do something that somehow leaves the clinic in a really bad spot. Am I right?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think I take on a lot of responsibility.
Right.
That
okay. All right. So
on myself, that's not actually
right. Necessary. Well, because you're a great person, and that's high character. You're high integrity, high character. So, I just wanted to walk you through that instead of just coming at it real simple and go, "Wow, there's no way you'd do that." But I wanted you to hear yourself identify the very thing you're afraid of. And I don't think you have the capacity to be a jerk. I really don't. Not in that work context. I just don't think you're going to do that. And so you just identified what it would take. And there's no way you're going to do that. So that's one part of the question. Leave them in the lurch. The second thing is just overall, how do I leave well? How about walking in and saying, "Hey, I have enjoyed my time here. I love you people. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm sort of sad, right? Because I've grown to care about this place and it's been a nice season of my life. But I'm also equally excited because I know what my future is and I know what the path to that future is. And it now requires me to move on. And I couldn't be more grateful and just wanted you guys to know that I appreciate this opportunity to work here. And it meant a lot to me. And so I'm sad, but it's time for me to move on. Here's where I'm going. Here's why I'm going there. And how can I make this transition flawless? Because the last thing I want to do is leave you all in a lurch. I think if you say that right there, I think we're all good. Now,
yeah.
let's leave open the possibility somebody might get mad about it, but you're not responsible for that. You're not responsible for their reaction. You're responsible for how you handle yourself and leave well. And you do it the way you and I have just been discussing. That's not blowing up a bridge.
Okay. Do you think 2 weeks is too little, or do you think it should, like, is there, I know 2 weeks is the quote standard of.
Yeah, it's certainly not, 2 weeks is certainly not a jerk move. That's kind of the standard. But to answer your question purely, I don't know. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the right amount of time? Given you know your role, you know who counts on you, you know what your rhythm is there. What do you think is the right amount of time to tell them?
I would say at least a month.
Okay, now let me just tell you something. Because I'm on Team Aaron, okay? Mm-hmm. So if you think a month is the right thing, I think you do that. But you better tell them, you better give them the month after you're financially prepared. So don't cut it off 2 weeks too soon. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. All absolutely. Right. I want to be ready myself.
That's what I'm saying. Once you're ready, Aaron, give them a month. I think that's a very nice touch. It's not necessary, but based on what you know about the place and your role, I think that's fine. I think it's a way to go. You're awesome.
Awesome.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, Aaron, thanks for listening. Thanks for the call. All right, 844-747-2577, the number. Let's go to Grayson, who's on the line in Scottsdale, Arizona. Grayson, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, thanks so much for having me.
Sure, Grayson. How can I help?
So I have a question here for you today, Ken. My question is, so I just graduated school, and what I'm doing right now, I no longer feel very passionate about it. However, my wife and I, we actually just got married like 3 weeks ago or so.
All right.
And we're currently on baby step number two with about $40,000 of debt.
Okay.
And so I'm wondering on how or what advice would you have for going about trying to either make a career change or go into something new while being on baby step number two?
Yeah, I love this question. And for non-Dave Ramsey Show listeners, baby step two is the second of Dave's seven baby steps, and that is paying off the debt. You go from the smallest to the largest so that you get some momentum. And so that's where Grayson and his wife are right now. So here's the difference. There is no difference. A lot of people think, Grayson, that, well, how can I transition in baby step two? Very simple. Dave Ramsey himself, he and I have talked about this. Dave tells callers on his show all the time, well, we're not going to jump off of a cliff. We want to get the boat very close to the dock so that we can step right off the boat onto the dock. So you are in a situation where whether you're in debt or not, you're not going to jump without a job. And so the way you transition is you use my proximity principle. It's a best-selling book for a reason. People said, hey, this gives me a clear path forward. And you get around the right people and in the right places, specifically the people that are doing what you want to do. In the places where what you want to do is happening, you make those relationships. All the while, you're still over there working, still paying the bills, still using the budget, still paying off debt. And you look for the right opportunity. You transition to something, and you literally, when you give your 2 weeks' notice, you're all set. And you step right into that job. You don't miss a paycheck. So I appreciate the spirit of the question, but we get it a lot. And so I'm not oversimplifying your concern, but I'm just saying, don't jump. Step. You see the difference?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, it absolutely does.
Yeah, don't treat it anything different. Whether or not you're in baby step two or not, it doesn't matter. We're not going to go without a paycheck. And so we're going to be patient to wait, find, make it happen, that next opportunity. Then you step into that, and you're going to make more money than you ever did. You know what's amazing, too? This is for Grace and a little encouragement, and anybody else that listens to the Dave Ramsey Show, or if you don't listen to the Dave Ramsey Show, I understand we have an audience. We crisscross, and some people don't. Let me tell you this. For 3 years, I was the host of the Dave Ramsey Show video channel on YouTube and DaveRamsey.com. And so I stood there and watched Debt Free Screams many days, three, one each hour. So I've literally seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of debt-free screams. And almost every one of them, when Dave asked the question, how much were you making at the start of your journey, debt-free journey, they would say a number. He says, how much are you making now? And almost every time, they were making more money. Now, sometimes they changed jobs, sometimes they didn't. But Dave and I have talked about this on the air and privately. It's because of the focus. So if you're sitting there going, Ken, I'm trying to get out of debt. I can't even think about changing careers. Yes, you can. What if you were doing work you actually loved? Do you think you might make a little bit more money? Do you think you might see some more progress up the career ladder, which, oh, by the way, helps you pay off debt faster? I would tell you, you need to be going through the baby steps and using the proximity principle at the same time and getting out of debt faster. They're not exclusive disciplines. So there you go. Don't move. More Ken Coleman Show coming up right around the corner. Welcome back, America. You're joining the conversation about you and what you were created to do here on The Ken Coleman Show. 844-747-2577. So fun to talk to men and women every day about stepping into that purpose. Oh my goodness, can you imagine getting up on Monday mornings? Even though you might be a little tired, yeah, you want a little more R&R every once in a while. But imagine getting up on a Monday morning and actually be thrilled about the week ahead because you're doing work that you love to do. And the results of that work you love to do matter deeply to you. This is not a fantasy. Is it a dream? That's why we call it the dream job. But a dream is very doable. 68 to 70% of Americans are disengaged at work. Oh my gosh, that's a problem. That's the revolution I am trying to lead. A revolution of men and women who are doing meaningful work. Can you imagine how much better the world would be? Let's get at it, shall we? 844-747-2577. Next is Ann, who's on the line in Orlando, Florida. Ann, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help?
I'm just looking for some clarity. To give you some context, I've been out of college for about 5 years, and I've had about 5 different positions since then. I was working in the theme park industry down here in Orlando for a little over a year and got into teaching because I felt that would be more fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
But I taught last year, and I hated it.
Yeah.
So I've really spent the last couple months over the summer trying to find something new, and I'm just really struggling with finding a place to land. So I was just hoping that you could help me with clarity.
Yeah, so we need to do some full-on sweet spot discovery, don't we?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me what, if I interviewed all of your friends, all of your former teachers, coaches, your parents, any adult in your life that knows you fairly well, and I said, tell me what Ann does best. Give me the 2 or 3, 4 or 5 things that I'd hear.
I'm really good at working with a team and helping make projects come to life. I did theater for a long time, so just making those theatrical productions come to life. I'm really good at customer service and people skills. And I'm also, even though teaching wasn't my sweet spot, I am good at speaking and I am good at kind of doing one-on-one like mentoring and teaching.
Okay, great. Interesting. Very interesting. Here's what I wrote. Projects. So you're good at projects, getting stuff done. You got good people skills, connecting with others. I also wrote down communicating underneath people skills. So I wrote connecting and communicating. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay, great.
I think so.
Good. Yeah, I know. I didn't mean to question. I just meant, I think you have people skills in two ways. You can stand in front of people and communicate well and clearly. But you also know how to listen and connect with others. And then, of course, I wrote down serving others. That's customer service. So that's a talent of yours. You're good at it. All right, now,
mm-hmm.
How many of those things that you just said that you do well do you enjoy to do?
I really enjoy connecting and communicating with others, and I do enjoy customer service.
Okay. How much, when you're connecting with people, do you find yourself giving advice? When you say you like to connect with others, I'm just curious, what does that look like? Connecting and communicating. Tell me how that comes out.
Well, I think it's just encouraging others. And I'm a Christian, so I think just encouraging others in their faith and talking with them. I even kind of do a podcast as a hobby, just talking to my friends about that. So that's something I really enjoy doing so much that I do it in my free time.
Is encouraging. That's what you would say that is?
Yes. Yeah.
Who would you most love to encourage? If I gave you, what's the most money you've made in your 5 years out of school?
The most money?
Yeah.
I made $40,000.
Okay. If I gave you $45,000 tomorrow, and I said, Ann, I'm giving you $45,000 for the next year, and the only thing you need to do to receive that payment is to tell me who you want to encourage and how you want to encourage them, what would you say?
I would say encouraging women around my age. That would be my ideal person I would like to talk to.
And how would you encourage them? What would you be talking about?
I think just, I don't know, in general, just like life things, their faith, kind of what they're going through, just kind of being a listening ear.
And tell me why that's your answer. What's the why behind all this? There's a reason why your heart longs to do that. What is it?
Yeah. I think it's because I've always wanted that in my own life. Mm-hmm. And I also just find a joy in doing that. And I think I find fulfillment in that, because I think that's the common thread of all my jobs that I've tried, is trying to find fulfillment and joy in those roles.
Yeah. I think your primary role, if I was going to use a one-word descriptor, is encourager. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Is there a better word?
No, I think that's great.
I do too. And so mine is a performer. So for me, I have to say, I have to always be clear on, am I in a position where I've got to perform? And I'm not talking about Disney performing, you know, on a Broadway stage or in a film or on a concert stage. But I'm talking about right now on this microphone, the pressure for me to deliver on behalf of other people. That's the performance that I'm talking about. I've got to be in that space where there's that added pressure. So for you, that primary role is the role of encouraging. And if you don't have that every day, something's going to feel empty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I'm really excited right now because, Ann, you started off this phone call not very clear. I think you should be really clear right now. Are you really clear on who you really are and what you're supposed to be doing?
I think so, yeah.
You are, because you're supposed to be a professional encourager, right?
Right, right.
That's all you should be clear about right now. That was a trick question, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk about who you most want to encourage and how. And you said, I want to encourage women my age, young women, coming of age, right? So whatever you want to put on them, what descriptor do you want to put on them? But the question becomes how and where. And if we know the how, I think it is either one to many or one to few or both. Make sense?
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's in a counseling role, okay? Or is it in a ministry role? Is it in a hobby level role, which means you keep doing this podcast? You know, is it a combo? I don't know. But, you know, you have to start to ask, where are those women going for that need? Where are they going?
Right.
And how do I best meet the need? Now, I'm not trying to put you in a corner, but that's the homework that you've got to deal with. And by the way, you're really close to getting clarity on that. The question becomes, how do you help them? Where do you help them? Those are your two key questions. And let me tell you something right now. If you said to me, well, Ken, I think I want to counsel young women, I'd go, let me retreat to your sweet spot. Let's just see. Wait a second. Ann's really good at communicating and connecting. She's really good at serving others. Okay. Do you have a skill set of analyzing or discernment? Do you find yourself having that gift of discernment, Ann?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, you got to have that. Now, that's a muscle. Mm-hmm. So that's a strength that you can really develop. And I've got that. That's how I listen to people on the radio a lot, and I can hear something that they're not saying, and then I pull it out of them, and then they laugh. Like, how'd you know that? That's discernment.
Right.
Okay, that's a gift. So if you've got discernment, you've got to think about counseling. You've got to think about a ministry role. You know, and you also have to ask yourself this, where do I want to be 10 years, 15 years from now? What would be the dream? And I'm going to ask you to say that right now, because it's a dream, Ann. There's no wrong answer. Dream it. Say it now.
I think being a full-time podcaster would be amazing.
Okay, great. So how do you get there? Because that you got to have a big audience so that advertisers are paying for that audience. And that's how you fund yourself full-time.
Mm-hmm.
So keep doing the podcast, but you're going to have to start releasing content. You're going to have to start speaking, maybe writing. You're going to have to really develop a message. And in the meantime, you better have a full-time job actually doing some type of counseling or ministry work where these women are, so that you are able to get real everyday contact with the very women you most want to serve, so that you can develop your content. So this is a journey, but it's worth it. Go after it.
Our time is almost up, but before I let you go, you matter and you do have what it takes. Thank you for joining the conversation. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts, like the Dr. John Deloney Show.
Hey good folks, this is John, host of the Dr. John Deloney Show. On this show, I talk to real people just like you who are wrestling through relationship issues, mental health challenges, annoying people. We're talking about anything and everything. I am here to walk with you, and it starts now.
Subscribe to the Dr. John Deloney Show wherever you listen to podcasts.